It's the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and I am your host, John Fowler, along with John Sandy.
Well, you almost forgot your name right there.
Well, I was working on something.
It's like John.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's his name?
It's
Fowler.
John Fowler. Yeah, I had to think about that for a minute. And we're broadcasting live on Facebook today, YouTube today, LinkedIn today, and TikTok Live.
Today.
We're on TikTok Live. Good morning to you all. Put your comments out there. They're on this camera here, but I can't get you on there either.
Oh, good.
You know.
That's probably good.
Probably good. You think we'll have more viewers because of that?
Yeah, I think anything with a bag.
Anything with a bag. Yeah, but your head's cut off on the TV. I got to figure out why that is.
But it's not here on this.
No, but it is. Let me see here. Why is that?
I thought what I see is what they see.
Well, I don't know, but I can fix that. I can fix it. Like, here's what I have to do. I got to raise that up just a little bit. There you go.
That felt good.
Did it straighten out your back? I don't know. Maybe you got taller. I thought when as you got older, you got shorter, but I think you've got taller.
A big, big man.
Yeah.
Big John.
John's under the weather today.
Who is?
You are. I don't know what that means. What's under the weather mean?
Under the weather.
Yeah. I don't know what that
Doesn't
means.
Doesn't sound good, whatever it is.
Yeah. So he come in here trying to get me. You know, see, Jay had the courtesy of he was sick on Friday. He canceled.
Did he let you know?
He canceled, yeah. But you just come in here snotting, coughing around. Thinking.
But I'm here.
Yeah.
So I didn't cancel.
Well, what if you're contagious?
I didn't babyfied.
But what if you're contagious?
Well, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So, where do we go from there? John's gotten up and he's leaving the room.
I'm leaving the room.
Not like a man of faith. Huh? What do they call you, man of God, man of faith and power? Is that what they call you, wimp?
Well, what's that noise? That's not us.
Oh, it's
That's
somewhere
somebody else.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, but there's a thing called not being, you know, like if I was sick, I wouldn't like.
I'd love
go
you.
Around
I'd
anymore.
Love you just the way you are.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
So you just you're
come on in.
So what if I got sick from what you had?
Well,
all you would do is say, "I'm sorry."
Yeah, I hate to hear about that.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Can you still help me? That's what I would say.
But you'd feel bad if I died from whatever you had.
It would bother me for days.
Oh, I'm sure you would be. You would say, "Oh, Chrissy, I'm so sorry, John died. Will you be able to do the podcast with me on Mondays now?
Can you fill in for him?
Yeah, can you fill in for him?"
It's like Pastor Wright said, they aren't thinking about you one time.
No. That's for sure. I told Christy, I said, if I died, do not marry Tim Morse.
Oh, Lord.
That's exactly what I told her.
Oh, did you actually say it to her?
Oh, to both of them. All to both of them. Yeah, I said, do not. Uh-uh. I don't want him spending my life insurance money.
Mm-mm. You'll do
no.
Well, maybe you could set up some kind of trust fund so that he can't.
Yeah, I could do that. That would be hysterical.
Former banker, you should be able to handle that.
Yeah, that's true. I probably could, no doubt. But we played pickleball yesterday after the Pulse experience, and several new people there, and it was pretty exciting.
Good. How'd you do?
Did good. Yeah, did good. Yeah. I'm playing.
Did y'all win, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, you team up with other people. And so Christy and I played some together, and then we played some with other people, too. You know, so you're
actually not on the same team sometimes.
Sometimes you're not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But, you
well,
know.
Well, I put you in a pickle.
That will put you in a pickle.
You know where the word pickleball came from?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
Okay.
Do you know?
I did hear it, and I forgot what it was.
Really?
Yeah, someone talked about how wore pickle. I don't know if they had a pet named Pickle. I don't know what it was, but there was
something.
Kind of like that restaurant, Raising Cane.
Raising Cane?
Yeah, you heard of it?
No, do they have sugar there?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
that's really
just a
funny.
Thought. Just a thought.
Well, Raising Cane, they had a dog named Cane.
Oh, okay.
And you'll see his picture on the windows. And
we had a dog named Kane that lived next door to us in Polka. When we lived in Polka.
Now, think about this for a second, John.
He was devil-possessed.
Well, no, you told me I met him. I mean, you pointed him out to me.
Oh, yeah. You remember that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You'd go get in the swimming pool, and he was right there. Like at night, if you did a night swim, mm-hmm. and the ladder was over, no, the ladder was on the other side, but if you had to go around to where the pump was, he could make the hair on the back of your head stand up.
Yeah, he was quite a barker.
He was. My neighbor used to, like, jump the fence, come over and scream at him, and then turn around and just walk back over to his house. He'd never say anything to me. I mean, it's like I'm sitting on the deck.
Was it his dog?
No. But it was the neighbor on this side. This neighbor on this side would jump the fence, run over, scream at the dog, and run back while I'm on the deck. He knew I was there. Never said a word. You know, just mad. And go back and scream. No. Jason was—he's a great guy.
But he was on the other side. Why did it bother him so much since he was on the other side?
Because he could hear it. Yeah, and he swam in the pool.
Well, think about this for a second, John. Really, put all this together, and it makes sense. Cain killed Abel.
That's what I rebuked that dog over there one day. I said, "I rebuke you to die in Jesus' name."
I'm not done.
I did. It's crazy.
And then we have Fowler in the Bible.
Yeah,
which is not good.
Fowler. What he did
in the Bible?
I don't know any Fowlers in the Bible.
Oh, you don't.
There's no Fowler in the Bible.
Yeah, I met him.
So you know Cain and Abel.
Yes, but
but I don't know any Fowlers. Okay, where were the Fowlers at?
I see what we're doing. I'm playing a game, mind game here. Okay, we know what the Bible says about Fowler in the Bible, right?
I don't know it.
It's not a good word. I'm talking. Okay, break it down for me. The word Fowler in the Bible is not good, right?
Why? I don't know any Fowlers. You're relating this to Cain and Abel.
No. Well, yeah,
and then the Fowler.
The Fowlers lived next door to Cain and Abel.
They did. And how John knows this is because he was there.
I was there.
He was there.
I was on the other side.
He was there.
I was the guy running through the yard.
All the time. Well, you just peaked right there.
I did. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you did. Now we got to start all over.
Hi, I'm John Sandy.
It's all messed up. You didn't even say the John show.
Well, you're right. It didn't.
Let me see if anybody's commenting. See if there's anybody commenting on TikTok that says
the John show.
Says get off of here.
Go on, get.
No doubt. We're so glad to have you all tuned in to TikTok and as well as Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Chad Harding watches on LinkedIn.
Oh, he does.
And I found out that LinkedIn, I turned it off by accident 3 weeks ago. So I didn't mean to.
Did you really?
Yes, it was an accident. So, Chad, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, that was personal,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, no, it was not. No.
Now, what do you do? Do you do TikTok all the time, or is this fairly new on TikTok?
Fairly new on TikTok.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, fairly new. And but we finally got over 1,000 viewers, and so when you get over 1,000 viewers, you can go live. And so
is that right?
Yeah. So we do, and I'm just really thankful for the viewers that we have.
Now LinkedIn, do you have to subscribe to get that, or just download the app for them?
You can download the app for LinkedIn. Do you know what it is, LinkedIn?
No.
LinkedIn is the professional side of Facebook. And that's where you post like where you work, what you do, if you're hiring, you know, that kind of thing. You should be on there being an entrepreneur like you are. You should be on there. Yeah, but please, Michelle, help him. I'm not doing it.
Well, we know
I'm not backsliding.
We know that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not doing it. Well, I can show you how, but you know, you put a picture on there, and it's a very professional site. Mm-hmm. Friends from school, you know, and people.
So how did we get on it? If it's professional.
You just go to your app store, whatever. What do you have? An Android?
Android. It is a Motorola.
Yeah.
Hello, Moto. It says hello, Moto.
Oh, yeah. That's see, the rich really... people use those kinds.
They do?
Yeah.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, we use iPhones. Well, I can't reach my iPhone.
Rich people use Androids?
I don't know. I just said that.
I just said it. Did it stick or not?
Yeah.
I'll just say this today. I don't know what it means, but I'll just say it.
I thought it did.
Well, I know that I wasn't, you know, born a techie. We're all aware of that. But
you have so many great qualities.
Thank you, John.
Yes, so many great qualities.
Name them for me, Is it hard for you to do?
Well, you sing very well, and you teach very well, and you, what else do you do well?
What else? That's
you
it.
Aggravated Cynthia very well, and you're an artist beyond measure. I need to find that picture of the snowman that you drew that I had you sign. That's an awesome picture. And it just, it's one of those pictures that just makes you feel good.
Yeah, it's a feel good type of snowman picture.
Yeah, so I gave him the opportunity to do Frankie the Honeybee illustrations. It's on the screen here. And
good old Frankie.
But Frankie would have died and have gone to heaven by the time John Sandy would have got this done.
No one ever heard his testimony.
No, because I handed it to John and said, you'd be perfect to doing this. I'll pay you to do it.
I tried.
And, no, you didn't. Try. You know what try is? Try is failure with honors. That's failure with honors. I learned that in grad school.
That's amazing.
And also learned.
I don't feel any judgment either. That's
no,
really
well,
good.
No, it shouldn't be because it's absolutely a non-judgmental place. This is like Planet Fitness.
Lord.
Yeah, Planet Fitness is that way.
And
you know, non-judgmental.
You have a sequel coming out, and we're all abuzz about it.
All abuzz?
Yeah.
I've got a sequel coming out, and I don't even have it wrote yet.
Do you have the name of the sequel?
Yes.
You want to share it? Or
no.
Oh, you do?
No. It's not copyrighted. It's not copyrighted yet.
Why would that matter to you?
Well, as you write down, right. as he writes down the information. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because you got to stick your tongue out when you write.
You do.
It helps.
Yeah. Yep. That does for sure. So
and it's purdy, too.
It's purdy. No doubt about it.
All right, we have a new granddaughter, granddaughter, and they sent us a picture of their dog, Muffin, and he's sitting there licking the back of her head.
Really?
He's really cute.
Well,
and he's like a golden retriever. And they
so that means if she gets lost, he'll bring her back.
Well, he's a...
That's what a retriever does.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you don't ever have to worry about her
baby.
Yeah. Well, you could actually, you know, use the dog to go get the baby.
Well, the dog is pretty much a puppy still.
Right.
So they want that to be her dog growing up.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is. And they call her Millie. Her name is
Millie and Muffin.
Millie and Muffin. Ooh,
well, that's cool.
There's a children's book in there, John.
There is.
Millie and Muffin.
Yep.
Go to the fair.
Why they have to go
lost,
to the fair.
But they don't know where.
There you go. I'm glad that's recorded so I can use that.
Yeah, it's
you're
not
a poet and didn't
it's
not, know.
It's a copy.
That's not,
it's not copyright.
Now copyrighted.
It will, but it will
to
be.
To the Pulse WV Live.
But it will be.
And I own the rights. So it's mine.
Now,
so funny.
Also, you mentioned all the things that I do, which is a short list, I'm sure. But we also have, can't wait to share some of the new shirts we designed.
I can't wait to see
cool
them.
Shirts.
He keeps saying it, but I don't know if they exist.
Well,
I really don't. I mean, I've not seen any copies or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one?
I know. We're getting ready to send the vectors to the printer so he can send us some. We're going to have some staff ones done for Cynthia and I with our logo. And we'll also have
you should get one for your friend so that he can wear it on the show and promote it.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
If I had one, I might do something.
Yeah, that would be good.
Little hint there. See, that was passive aggressive.
Oh, is that what that was?
That was.
Yeah, but it wasn't passive aggressive to me. It was the passive aggressive to the one who's doing the shirts for you.
You know what I heard the other day on TV?
No.
Mm-hmm. Colloquial.
Colloquial. I don't know what that is.
Well, last week, remember I used a word and you said you didn't know what it was. I said colloquial. And so I gave the definition with Google. And you said that wasn't good enough. You didn't get it. And then I was watching TV, and they used the term colloquial. I thought, oh, if John was only here.
Really?
Yeah.
What channel was it on?
I don't know.
It had to have been that
Daystar,
channel.
Maybe on Daystar.
Daystar, colloquial.
Oh, maybe it was just on Fox or something where they were talking about something political, and they talked about it being colloquial.
We have a debate tomorrow.
I know.
Oh, man, I cannot wait.
I can't watch that stuff.
Oh, why?
I just can't get nervous.
Oh, you can never pastor a church then. If you can't watch a debate and you can't handle people talking about you.
Oh, I can handle that part.
If you can't handle debates, you can't be a pastor, man. You just like you.
I have people talk about me all the time.
You can be an evangelist.
See, that's me.
Yeah, that's you. The ones who don't want to deal with controversy, you know, that's evangelist. That's what God's called me to.
Well,
after being a pastor for 35 years, I'm ready to be an evangelist.
Yeah, somehow you got the revelation after so many years that, no, this is not what I
am. My dad always tells me, he says, I don't know why you do that. I don't know why you set you up for abuse like that. You know?
Yeah, it's tough. I said in my program yesterday that one of the toughest jobs is being a pastor. And I started giving some of the reasons.
Some of the reasons why not to be?
And they left the room, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it. I get
it. Easily offended. That's one of them.
Well, the pastor is easily offended?
No, the people they pastor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's... Easily offended. Tithe when they feel like it. Gossip. I mean, I don't know.
Church people do that?
No, come on, no.
Not godly people. They know better, don't they? Mm-hmm.
No, but what you do is, you're talking about being passive aggressive, is you put your gossip into a prayer request.
Well, that's, and you say, bless their hearts first.
No, it's after.
Well, it's afterwards?
Yeah, you bless your hearts afterwards. Yeah, it's like such and such is having an affair with such and such. Thought you all should pray about it. Bless her heart. Bless them, Lord. Then you're clear after that.
You're clear after that. Now you can say whatever you want.
Right. Without blessing their heart.
And you're clear because it's one time fits all.
Yeah. That's definitely for sure. Yeah, it works.
I heard someone say that you get sick and last thing you want to do is call the prayer chain because now you have 1,000 people that don't believe praying for you.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, I don't know why I'm praying. They're going to die anyway. You know.
That's a lot of faith.
Yeah, that's faith. Faith in the fact is that you're going to die. Say, I have faith to believe they're going to die.
I really believe.
I have faith that they're going to die.
Something about that.
Yeah.
Something about this doesn't work for me.
Well, you know, when I was a Baptist, one of the things that was always so popular at Awake was a covered dish.
You love the term. Covered dish.
Covered dish.
And you love the term fellowship hall?
Fellowship.
Or just
fellowship. Yeah, just the word fellowship. It's so old-fashioned.
Yeah. What's another one?
Revival.
Oh, revivals.
Yeah.
Oh, here's even better.
Yeah.
Spring revival.
Fall revival.
Well, you schedule.
You schedule.
Schedule God.
You're scheduling God to come into your church. And then I always like the one where people raise their hands and say, Father, we invite your presence. I think it's the other way around. He invites us to be there
because
it's his.
Lord, go with us.
Go with us, Lord. Protect us. Yeah, it's like, go with us. Yeah, like,
or
that means
a pastor shows up to speak.
Right.
And you say, Lord, anoint them tonight.
Like they're not anointed
like
any other time.
If you're not anointed when you get
right,
you're not going to.
What about you're getting ready to eat, and you say, God bless the hands that prepared the food. What
just
about the rest of them?
Just the hands.
Yeah. What about the rest
of
them?
Have you ever met someone with blessed hands?
My mama could cook.
Then she had
she had blessed hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was blessed going in. She was blessed coming out.
Of the kitchen.
Of the kitchen. That'd make you hack. That woman, bless her. Ha.
Did she have a favorite dish of yours?
From Mom?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite dish, her prime rib was really good. Her meatloaf was good.
Oh, my mom had an amazing
meatloaf
recipe. Yeah, that sent this
roast
to
beef. Roast beef was good. My mom would make vegetable soup and put roast beef in it instead of ground up hamburger. Oh, yeah, she'd use the.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like cabbage in a soup, like a vegetable soup?
She would put cabbage in vegetable soup.
I love cabbage in it, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, ain't nobody cook like mama.
Mm-mm.
You know, but that's just, you kind of, you know, it's like I go through life hardly ever thinking about her. You know, she'd been gone 12 years.
She doesn't think about you, right?
No, she doesn't think about me. I don't think about her, you know. I thought, well, if she's not going to think about me, then I'm just not going to.
Forget you.
Yeah, forget
Bless her heart.
Bless her. So what I did was the last thing that I think she made that we had was vegetable soup.
Really?
Yeah, and it was.
Was that roast beef?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Prime rib. Prime rib
prime,
and the roast.
Ooh,
yeah, prime rib and
prime
roast beef.
Rib.
Oh yeah.
Did she put it in a slow cooker first, like a crock pot or
big
something?
Big pot. No, she cooked the meat and then she put it in the pot. you know, with all the other stuff.
My wife makes a wonderful pot roast, and I think she uses like
your wife is a really good cook.
Yeah, she's like an onion soup mix in it and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, but then they try to get me on this when I come over to your house for the Connect group, which is this
Friday.
Trying
to get you to stay. That's what we're trying to do.
I stayed.
You did, but you also made an announcement about it. See, that's that passive aggressive.
What did I do?
Oh, you did. We talked about how you leave early, you know, and don't even say bye to anybody. You say, why should I, kind of thing.
Well, I try to set the example that people shouldn't stay there forever. So we leave. It's like we're already there 3 hours. That's all enough.
You're making a sacrifice, aren't you? It's amazing how you are willing to just...
I just try.
Be a blessing.
Try to be a blessing, John. I mean, just trying every day.
And so, yeah, you stayed the whole time, but then you made an announcement about it. So
that I stayed?
Yeah.
I know.
Let everybody know.
I know.
If I'm going to make a sacrifice, you're going to know about it.
It's true. Right? Yeah. Well, absolutely. You know. Yeah. Don't you just love it when somebody does something in church and they want to be recognized for it, and it's just like such a bother. Like, so you know, tired. I had to sweep the floor today, and it just took me so long.
Yeah.
Sweeping the floor down in, you're talking about sweeping the floor is in Winston-Salem, down at our third church campus. Mm-hmm. I've swept that floor, and man, you're sweating. It takes an hour.
Are you talking about in the sanctuary?
Yeah. It takes an hour to sweep that floor.
With a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah. Well, what else are you going to sweep?
Well, you said sweep, and I don't think of sweep as a vacuum cleaner.
What do you think?
Sweep the floor. That means take a broom. Let's sweep the floor.
So what do you do with the vacuum cleaner?
You vacuum.
Oh,
I'm going to
serious? So I'm going to vacuum. Well, so I vacuumed the floor down
there. Keep it simple.
And it, I mean, it's an hour. Because that
it's big.
It seats 750. How do you know? You ain't never been there.
Well, you invited me.
Keep saying you want to come down.
Well, yeah, I'm waiting for you. Yeah, I've been waiting for you.
John's,
you're the one.
Look, I've known John Sandy for a long time. If he's not on stage somewhere, he ain't coming. That's just him. It's like, you know.
And you say, okay, I'll let you take
just
the offering.
So just to come down to visit, no, John's not going to do that. He has to. He's motivated by purpose, you know. So
I'm a purpose-driven life person.
I guess.
It's like that famous book.
Yeah, it is a famous book. Did you ever read it?
No, I've heard. I've seen the cover. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the sanctuary has pews. Is that correct?
Yes, you definitely sit in your own pew.
I mean, instead of folding chairs,
that's
like a lot
true.
Of churches do. So that's a job right there, isn't it? Just going between all the pews and stuff. That's probably quite a job right there.
It is. it is. You know, but
I'm proud of you, and the way you do things silently and sacrifice. Broadcasted all over the world.
I was just given an example.
Nigeria knows now that you
Uganda knows.
And
Uganda knows.
Yeah. They know.
Yeah, Uganda knows that I vacuum. Well, see, we have a rainbow system.
A rainbow? You mean the vacuum's a rainbow?
No, it's not a vacuum. It's a system.
I was
told when we bought it, it was a system.
Not a vacuum cleaner.
No, it's not.
So
it's a system.
It.
Yes, absolutely. So that's what you have to do. People say they have a rainbow vacuum
system,
and it's not. It's not that at all. Because the guy who sold it to us, it's a system. And, man, those things are not cheap.
No, though. We have a TriStar, so we went kind of – similar route.
Oh, yeah.
With the TriStar. Now, the...
And you use that all the time, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You vacuum at your house?
I think I think we've had over 20 years.
Do you do that?
I offer.
You offer, but...
Mm-hmm, I do. I offer. I say, honey,
he's such an encouragement to his wife. He'll sit there and watch her and bring her water.
I say, hey, that's an awesome job.
I do that at my house.
While you're over there, could you fix me a sandwich?
Right. I do the vacuum
at our house. And since you're coming this way, I know. Everybody knows about it, John.
I'm at my house.
We know you clean up the car. You straighten out all the cans in the garage.
I can't stand a mess.
No, you can't. It's just almost a sickness.
I had a... What did I have the other day? Okay, I had a problem with one of the screws that are on the edge of the moped, the new one that I bought to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not get that thing off of there to put the fender on.
Was it on tight or just crooked?
It
or?
Was tight, and I couldn't get it off. So I was
bless
making the
your heart.
So I had washed the sheets, and I was putting the sheets back on the bed.
See how you fit that in there, folks?
Yeah, I was putting the sheets back on the bed.
On the bed.
And I thought, I'll call Pastor Dwight from Winfield. He lives real close to me. He's got all kinds of tools. And I called him, and he answered. Not like you, where it goes to voicemail. And passive aggressive. And so he says, he says, yeah, come on down. So I take the moped down, and he gets that screw right off of there, and we put the new one on and put the fender on and ready to sail, baby. Ready to sail.
You always hear this. if you just have the right tools.
It's true.
It really is true because, you know, you have things you have to do in your garage. And you say, man, do I have a Richard's head?
I just didn't have that one tool that I needed. You
was it because it, what type of tool did it require to get it off? Is it one of those ratchet where you can get a better grip?
No, it was one of those, what do they call them? It just left me. And I know what they are. They're
Phillips.
No, it's a wrench, but you clamp it. I mean, it gets really tight. And
you can adjust the tightness.
Yeah.
Too, I believe.
But I can't remember.
And it took that to get a good grip.
Yeah.
It was on there good.
Yeah.
Now, why'd you have to take it off?
So that I could put the fender on. Because they just put them on there. Just, okay, here's where they go. Mm. And the right one came off, but the left one wouldn't. But, you know, when you have a tool like that, you look at the person that's using it, and you say, you really need to get a grip. You know, you really need
a good grip.
A good grip, yeah.
Yeah, and he evidently did.
He got a good grip.
He followed your advice. It had nothing to do with the tools he had.
No.
It was your advice alone.
He knew
that
how to
changed
do.
Everything.
Pastor Dwight knows this stuff. He's
now,
so,
is this a new moped?
Yes.
Is that why you were putting it together?
Yeah. And I saw a buddy of mine the other day said, I saw one of the mopeds that you sold over in your neck of the woods where you live. So, if anybody's interested in buying a moped.
He's talking your neck of the wood or mine?
Yours.
Oh, mine.
Yeah.
So, that was him.
Yeah. He is, yeah, so we're selling.
I do see those every once in a while. People riding them around.
If you see a red one or a blue one, we sold it.
That's amazing.
Oh, no.
You guys are just on the cutting edge of something.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
I mean, it's like you're not busy enough. Let's sell mopeds.
It's fun. That's my fun. I enjoy that.
Yeah. You have that. That's up for sale now?
Yes.
What do you have it on sale at? Mm. Where do you advertise that?
You can go to Fowler Motorsports.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, Fowler Motorsports.
Are you serious?
On Facebook. Yeah, Fowler Motorsports.
I thought it'd be We Care Motorsports.
No, it's We Care Publishing. That's the publishing company.
I know, but
you have We Care Daycare, right. We Care Publishing, which is where the books are. Mm-hmm. Fowler Motorsports for the mopeds and whatever else we're going to sell. Then you have the Pulse Incorporated, Winfield, Gasaway, Winston-Salem. We're incorporated in Winston-Salem. Also, mm-hmm. We have a PO box there.
Mm. So now you're selling mopeds.
I've been selling mopeds for quite a while now.
Oh. You finally got yours fixed.
Finally. Oh.
You can ride it now.
I've ridden it. Like I would have rode it today, but I didn't have time to put clothes on to because it's chilly.
It was 44 this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, it's chilly.
I got ready to leave the house.
But I'm getting ready to leave you after I going over to. Winfield to get the bouncy houses today. They're inspecting them, so I've
we
got.
Had,
to,
we had to take them out.
They're right there. They're at Winfield. She's coming there.
Oh,
she's
so
coming there.
You have to inflate them.
Yep.
So yep. Take very long.
No, those fans are a bunch of mother-in-laws all packed into one.
You'd be careful.
You flip that switch and, poof, I mean it.
Now that's you have three of them, right?
We have three bouncy houses.
All three of them being used for that event. Because I know you say you had one already inspected.
Yeah, these two have not been inspected till today. So we haven't used them. Oh, yeah.
For that event?
What event?
Well, there's an event coming up that you had to get them inspected for, wasn't there?
Well, there's coming up some events in Putnam County, but then there's also a trunk or treat coming up in Braxton County that we use for.
Once you get them inspected, how long can you go without having them inspected again?
It expires December 31st.
This December?
Yes.
Yes. Is that because if you could have done it earlier in the year and yes. had it longer, but you didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know.
You learned something, didn't you?
I didn't know.
You learn now.
I know.
You know
yeah.
now, bless your heart.
Absolutely, I do know now. And I can't comment what I think because.
You did once.
I did once.
You told us about it. You said, yeah, and I told her, you're crazy.
No, I didn't. Well, you can't say that. She's coming down today. She may be watching. You can't. I got to get these things inspected.
Well, you shared it at church, so I thought.
I did not.
You said I told her.
No, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I was in the flesh.
You think?
Yeah. You think? Yeah, I was in
bless
the flesh.
His heart, he was in the flesh.
Tell you what, I'm going to be in the flesh if they don't get our internet fixed at the house. Oh, I'm like.
I heard you talking about that.
I'm like past up. Mm-hmm. What's wrong?
I don't know. Are you on that?
Yeah.
What's it called?
We don't want to get sued, so I can't say.
You can't say that.
But anyway, so I'm like almost late for an appointment. I'm 40 minutes on the phone. They're trying to fix the internet. And the guy asked me if I had a family. Like, he's in Timbuktu. God knows where he is. And he says, so tell me about your family. I know what he's doing. He's waiting on the internet stuff to kick in and work, and he's just stalling.
But that didn't impress you at all, did it?
No, it didn't. But I played along. I'm thinking, okay, I have to be Jesus here. I have to share Jesus. So I'm thinking, you know.
Sometimes you do that. Sometimes you act like a Christian. It's real impressive.
You have to act?
When you do it.
Oh, John, you're so bad. You better get started because this thing shuts off at 9 because I got to go.
Oh,
I mean, so you're done. I mean, it's like if you ain't done, you're done. I mean,
it just cuts off on its own.
Let's
do this thing.
Well, the thing about it is, though, I mean, his 20-minute altar call, it's like, in closing, and then 20, I know I got 20 minutes after.
Well, you heard me yesterday when I was closing because I was finishing out this series yesterday on Love God.
Not in the sanctuary when you were doing your thing.
You're not in there much at all, really.
I'm normally upstairs taking care of your uploads.
And you guys sit
the things that
guys,
I do.
I doubt it. You guys sit there and just talk away. I hear you. Mm-mm. Laughing and talking like we're not even in the room. You know what I mean?
Yep. Bless I'm up there heart. Working for you, taking
You're
care of all
you
your stuff.
You are just a one-man sacrifice machine.
See,
that's
John,
who you are.
John gets here. See, the talent shows up 5 minutes till. I'm here
that's
like
you.
A half hour.
That's
no,
you.
You're, I'm here a half hour getting ready for the talent.
Well, there's nothing I can do but just show up. So I show up early. I'm on time.
I know, but what if you wanted to punch his buttons?
Well,
and stuff,
I usually have to wait for you. So, last week, what was it, about 15?
And then I have to upload
Everybody
them start, after you're done. So you leave, and I'm like sitting here.
You're stuck
trying
here
to get,
doing that.
Yeah.
You are one amazing.
I know.
Just like you said, you're amazing.
God's amazing. He's amazing to help me. Christy, one time she says, help me with a computer. I said, honey, I don't know anything about computers. I said, I know about apps. I know things that work with apps. I said, to literally look at this computer that's in front of me and say, what kind is it? I can say it's an HP, but that's about as far as I can tell you.
And you talk about me.
Well, you
just have the nerve to talk about
that's me. That's not phones. I'm talking about computers. I know phones. You say, oh, there's a new AI app that will answer your phones for you. I'm getting it. I'm going to download it.
Well, you might as well because you don't.
Oh, I answer your call. Ever since you started tithing to our church, I started taking your calls. I thought, man, you know.
And so that's why I increased my tithing. I thought, maybe he'll answer more than once a month.
And I do. Just because of that, since you started tithing, man, I tell you, it's like before that, John and I were friends, you know, every now and then we talk. Yeah, we talk, you know, and then he started tithing to our church, so I thought,
I've got to answer it now.
Now
I have to.
Then I become his pastor, and then it's like, oh, now I got to take the call.
And you can always hear it in your voice, too.
Oh, now
I'll call
it's not
go,
true.
Your first word is always, what?
No.
And I feel so bad.
There's sometimes that I call
humble,
you.
Being as humble as I am, I shrink back and I go, oh, I'm sorry, John.
Yes, that's so true. Meow. I don't say what. I do that to somebody. There is somebody that calls and I say what.
Do you know who it is?
No.
Besides me?
No, it's not you. Somebody, somebody I really like.
I'll call John and I'll leave him a message. And
I take your
calls. Finally, I get him on the phone. I go, did you get my message? He says, no. He doesn't listen to the message. He just sees it. You called.
Call you back.
Yeah, call me back. But eventually you do.
AI will now take my calls.
Ooh.
I'm going to start doing
What kind of voice are you going to use? Something like Sylvester
Motown
Stallone.
Black.
Motown.
Motown Black. That's a, what's up? What up, dog?
Dog.
Yeah. We get Grant Snow in here. He'll be in Wednesday doing a hip-hop show. And he calls me on the show White Chocolate. That's my name. Because he wants me on the show with him. So I'm White Chocolate on the show.
White Chocolate.
That's me.
I love White Chocolate.
Yeah.
Have you had a White Chocolate Reese's Cup?
Lord won't let me eat things like that.
Really?
Know? No, it's a certain place you get with God. You can't eat stuff like
and
that.
You'll get there someday.
You'll get there someday.
If that's the testing point, I am failing miserably. Because I had a White Chocolate Reese's Cup the other day, and it was so good.
This is the thing that I was telling everybody. John Sandy goes on these diets. And he loses 20 or 30 pounds.
At least.
And he's done that, like, many times.
I'm done?
He'll pick the weight right back up. And you can't even tell. He's such a little guy anyway. And he's tall, but he's slinky. But, you know, the thing about it is, it's like, how much weight have you put back on?
3 or 4.
I told you. See?
Yep.
See? I told you. You know, I'm your pastor, John. You know, remember, you know, it's like I told you, he loses 25 pounds and then he says, I'm going to keep it off this time. And I'm thinking, you lie.
I will.
No. Well, you've already put 4 back on.
Well, I'm in that range area that I'm fine.
Oh, the range. Yeah, the range. So,
you know, the range. So,
let me tell you.
On the range.
I learned in statistics in grad school. That
oh, you were
there's
good
a,
at statistics.
No,
that was
I was
your
not.
Favorite
but,
class.
Yeah, it was my worst class. But one thing, there is a
so you qualified.
Margin of error.
There you go.
The margin of error.
There you go. I like that.
And so you're
good.
Staying within the margin of
gotcha.
Error.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Man, right. I love that. Thank you, John.
Just as long as you don't have, well, I was going to say something, but, you know,
when I lost the weight.
Right.
My belt notch is the same today when I lost all that weight. Just want you to know that.
Same today?
Same today.
And he's,
buddy,
yeah. And he buddy. Comes in here and he's huffing and puffing and his face is blue. Because he's cutting off your
I'm offended.
You're cutting off your circulation because you need to let out a notch.
My core.
Yeah. I'm going to go see if the bank has done our deposits.
Oh, did you get one?
A deposit? I hope. I took them last night. Jesus. Lord, help us. Help me, Lord. John Sandy, this is the final
yes.
the final episode
Part
of
8.
Of whatever topic. This is part 9.
Oh, is it 9?
You don't even know which
well,
one you're
Well, let me see.
It's like...
Wait. Let me
it's
see.
9.
Let me see. Wait, just a second. Let me see. Wait. 9.
It's like your own podcast. Well,
I think it's because I finished my series yesterday, Sunday, and it was part 8, I believe. That's probably where I got that from.
So this was innocent. This is a very vital time for you, isn't it?
It is.
Because you finished both series on the same
series
on the same time?
Yeah.
So you have nothing?
Well, after that, I'm all ready for next. John.
Yeah, he's a walking.
But let me just say something here.
Yeah.
John always got on me for having these really long series, so I've been cutting them back. But here's the thing about criticism that always
Nine?
Comes back.
You've cut back?
Well, man, don't you remember when I do some 20 and 30 some series?
I think that one series, man, that's like I had a birthday in between. Yeah. I think Moses died twice during that series.
Well, let me make a little observation.
Okay.
This is what comes with criticism. If you know people like John that are very critical, you'll understand when I say this. John would also get on me not only for that, but for the length of my sermon titles. You would get on me. I remember it hurt really deeply. And so I go, love God, hate sin. I wish I could say more, but John's critical. That kind of thing.
I learned that from B.G. Hamrick.
Did you really?
B.G. said, spend more time on the title than you do the content. Oh.
So now it's all right to have a long title.
No.
You're saying.
Have a good title.
Okay. Now, how long was your title yesterday?
Not very long.
Mm-hmm. I had a zip code.
It did not.
It did.
It did not.
It was a long one. I thought, well, that's a sermon.
It was one of the $12 ones. The $12 sermons have a longer title than the
$10. Because they feel like you need more for your money.
Yeah. So when you buy the $12, we go to sermon.com and buy the $12 sermon, the titles are longer. You get more for your buck there.
And yours even comes with applause cards.
Yeah, where
the audience holds them up.
They do. They, you know, it's like,
really effective.
Y'all been clapping at all my sermons.
Yeah, because they're holding that card. You can't see it on the TV, but
that's true. Yeah,
holding cards and the thing of like bless his heart, little things like that, and
yeah. And then within the script that they give you, for the $12 sermons, it says pause for effect, and then you pause for effect. Waiting on the response from the crowd, to clap or to shout or hallelujah or run around the church. And then it's like cricket, cricket, cricket. It's like, oh, okay, I better move on from that one.
And my favorite is build applause.
Build applause?
Build it up.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's those, you can see that's cold. That's my favorite because it's like you can tell they're slowly getting it and they really start to get it and they get really
Why
excited.
Do people applaud after a movie?
Why do customers tell the waitress their name?
I don't know.
I do that for fun. Hi, my name is Mary. I'll be your waitress today. I said, hi, I'm John.
She says, you're on that podcast.
You're that guy.
You know what I heard yesterday?
What?
My brother-in-law, Brady, sold 6 books at Shoney's of Frankie the Honeybee yesterday. And Shoney's in Flatwoods.
At Shoney's?
Yes.
And not got arrested.
No, and one of the ladies, she said, you all are the ones that sell the books. And they said, yes. And she said, one of the other waitresses bought her one, and she says, my 6-month-old daughter loves it.
6 month?
Yes, she's 6-month-old. Her daughter loves the book.
Oh, and that neat.
Oh, it's just, it helped me so much.
Well, the paying you helped you.
Well, yeah, it does.
But that's pretty cool, isn't it? Because you got you got the kind of book that's easy. You know what I mean? Easy to talk about.
Well, Brady says it sells itself because of the cover and all that.
I think so. I think so, too, because
really thankful.
Everyone knows a child or grandchild or someone that could use an encouraging word,
Yeah, just like your book's coming out. I can't wait to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to touch it.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to do when we launch our website, hopefully real soon, is I want to do a daily devotional thing based upon the title of the book, Think on These Things, and just things to think about.
So you should do a daily title weekly. That's how you should do it.
A daily
title weekly.
Weekly.
Yeah. So just once a week. You do a daily title
daily.
Weekly. Huh?
But it's daily.
No, it's weekly. That's once a week.
What's a daily title then?
Well, it's a play on words. It's like, hi, I'm John Sandy, and today I'm going to teach you. And we do this.
So
we do this daily weekly.
Mm-hmm.
It confuses people.
It did.
Keeps them coming back.
Did me.
Yeah.
I was ready for more.
I'm leaving. I'm sick of it.
Sick of everything you had to say.
Just when you're done, turn this one off and that one off and that one off and turn the lights out.
And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
John Sandy.
What's that one about you ugly?
UGLY? You ain't got no alibi. You ugly. Mm-hmm. You ugly. There's another part to that. Christy knows it, but I can't remember.
You'll have to find it.
Something about being a mess, but I can't remember. It's like,
I could see her doing that.
Christy?
Yeah.
No, not Christy.
No, she's so sweet. She's so sweet.
Yeah.
But that's where she gets you. See, you drop your guard because she's so sweet, and then she hits you with that.
Yeah.
You ugly.
You ugly. UGLY. Got no alibi. Probably hacking her, too.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. All right.
All right, I'm leaving. I really am. How long are you going to be?
Not very long at all.
Okay, I'll stay.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I will.
Well, actually, I don't have a lot here, so I'm going to just...
I will stay.
That's not very encouraging, is it?
I will stay right here.
But I'll do my best.
But
I'll signing off at
TikTok.
I'm going to stretch it.
Maybe I can turn it around to where people can hear you. Okay, I'll stay on TikTok. Okay. All right, go ahead. So you start talking, and I'll bring the camera around to you for TikTok.
Wow.
So you can get some notoriety. Because I know you fuss about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're like Mark Lowry, though. You plug everything you do. You know, it's like he's plugging this, he's plugging that. And Mark Lowry? We're going to do a weekly Bible study daily.
Yeah, he's
we're going to do a weekly Bible study daily. There you go.
There you go. I'm ready.
All right.
Let's do this thing. Hi, everybody. It's part 9, and it is our final segment on this particular series. That's the laughing crew there. Love God, hate sin. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. And just a little review going into the final part of that. Let's take it from here. If we were to truly seek Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to put on the mind of Christ. He would give us something to hold on to. And see, a lot of us need encouragement. We all need to be encouraged. What?
I said, I do after being with you.
I understand. Yeah, well, I'm trying to help you to move on so you can grow. Get off milk, John. Get off the milk. Okay. So anyway, we all need to be encouraged, right? Well, see, if you put on the mind of Christ, He will feed things into you that will encourage you. They'll give you reason to hope and trust, because a lot of times when we hit that wall or we hit something that's really bad, if we're not careful, man, we just fold like a $2 suitcase. And He's wanting to encourage us right in the middle of the battle. So be encouraged. It might be a word of knowledge, a revelation. And we talked yesterday at our church service on about how a vision, my people perish from lack of vision. Well, the word translation is revelation. So vision and revelation both mean that we need to see it in our spirit before we see it physically. And once you see it in your spirit, that'll give you encouragement and give you reason for hope, and don't give up. See, we give up. We stop fighting the battle. We stop fighting a good fight. We give up, and God is trying to encourage us so that we make it to the end and receive all that He has for us. If circumstances or challenges in life can cause us to doubt and be discouraged, then a word from God can build us up as well. So you can get a good word, or you can get a bad word, right, folks? And we need a word from God, not a word from, quote, our neighbor or someone that really isn't qualified and doesn't have a walk with God. See, there are people that we hang around that call themselves Christians, and it doesn't mean that they can't be an encouragement. But, you know, if you have a business, you want to get around people that are smarter than you. So in Christianity, you want to hang around people that have been walking with God longer, that have gained wisdom, and man, they can help you. You don't have to keep reinventing the wheel. God just will pick you up. He'll put you in places where people can feed a word into you, whether it's a good word or bad word. In both cases, it is a word that changes us. So what do I mean by that? You get a good word from someone, it can change your life and your future. If you get a word from someone that is not a good word, it will also change your life and your future. What kind of future do you want? Do you want to walk with God? Do you want to stay close to Him? I think we need to stay close enough to God that we can hear His still small voice. Now, here's something we went over last time that I just wanted to go over one more time and break it down a little bit, because I believe that there are some wonderful truths in here that will cause us to stop and think. So let's do that real quickly. When our doubts become greater than our faith, and I'm going to go back here in just a moment, when our pain becomes greater than our healings, when our questions become greater than our answers, when our losses become greater than our wins, and the only thing left is we just feel like we just need to die. Well, you know, that's what God's bringing us to. He's trying to get you and I to a place where we would die to self and let Him have His way, because all these things I just mentioned can cause you to give up, can cause you to question God's faithfulness when He wants you to trust Him by faith. Yeah, you know, trust Him without seeing. Seeing in your spirit first so that you can now see physically. So Once again, let's go back through this and talk about them for just a moment. When our doubts become greater than our faith. Now, we know that faith and doubt and unbelief are opposites, right? And doubt creates fear. Faith creates hope. Okay? So, the word faith and unbelief have the same Greek word, but unbelief has the precept, the letter A, okay, which means to cancel out. So you see, you can have faith and unbelief at the same time as the man did with the son that had the demons. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You can have both. But if you're not careful, that unbelief, that doubt will cancel out what God has given you in faith. So we had to have, Jesus said, only believe. In other words, you've got to get rid of doubt. We've got to get rid of doubt. But what happens is when we're in a battle where we're learning how to walk with God, we're learning how faith, how you going to know God's faithful or not if you give up before he can show you his faithfulness? And this is what I'm getting into right here with these examples right here. When our doubt becomes greater than our faith, that means that you have faith and unbelief at the same time. But if you're not careful, that unbelief would grow and consume your faith. So when our doubt becomes greater than our faith, what are you going to do? That's when you make a choice. It's not a feeling. You make a choice that I'm going to continue to trust God. I'm staying right here. I'm going to watch God work. I'm going to watch God take care of this. And then what that does, that creates a testimony. Now, a testimony comes from a test, right? But a testimony also creates a test. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you have a testimony because God's been faithful, then that's going to stir the devil up, and he's going to try to throw things at you. He's going to try to test that testimony you have. So it's important to know that there are tests in our testimony, but our testimony also creates tests in our life. So when our doubt becomes greater than our fear, that means that we've given up. We've stopped exercising our faith. Oh, we have faith, and we have an unbelief. But if you give up and stop stretching and exercising your faith, then doubt and faith, unbelief will grow and grow, and of course so will fear. When our pain becomes greater than our healing. Now, I shared this yesterday, and I thought it was a very important point, and I'll just share it today. Symptoms to sickness is as temptation is to sin. Let me say that again. Symptoms to sickness is as temptation is to sin. Now, here's my point. If you are tempted, does that mean you've sinned? No, it's what you do with it, right? Well, did you know that you can have symptoms and not be sick? Do you know the devil can throw things on you and cause you to doubt and fear because you have a certain pain or a certain thing happens? And what we do is we embrace it and we fear, and it grows into actual trouble, disease, and sickness. But if you attack the symptom, just like you rebuke a temptation, you won't sin. If you'll attack the symptoms, and I'll give an example that I've given before, arthritis. Arthritis sometimes starts with a simple pain somewhere in your hand, your finger, your body, and then it grows to the point where sometimes the bones are distorted and they're twisted, and it gets really, really bad, right? But if you attack the symptom, let's say you have a pain in your finger, all of a sudden you think, oh, that must be arthritis, or I think that's arthritis. Well, instead of embracing that and accepting it, you just start attacking that and say, I will not accept that. I will never accept arthritis in my body. I don't care how old I am. I will never succumb to that. I curse you, arthritis. I curse pain. I command you to leave my hand right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. And I promise you, from example in my own life, I'll promise you that if you will do that when the symptom hits, look back over a day or so and find yourself going, Wait a minute, I haven't thought about it, but that doesn't hurt there anymore. Staying on top of the symptom, staying on top of the temptation to sin, to be sick, is where we are supposed to live. That's where our victory is found, is at the beginning. Would you not agree that if you had advanced arthritis, that it actually caused your hand to be twisted and curved and bent up? Would you not agree with me that it's going to take a greater faith, less unbelief, to attack that then as opposed to that little pain in your finger? Try it, because it will work. So when our pain becomes greater than our healing, what do? That means you need to go back to the drawing board and build up your faith, get into the Word, listen to sermons, songs, whatever there might be that might encourage you to build your faith up and slowly overwhelm the doubt and unbelief and slowly overwhelm fear. When our questions become greater than our answers, there's nothing wrong with having questions. It's when you question God. That's the part you want to grow out of as a Christian, to where you stop questioning God. Because, see, that goes back to your unbelief and lack of faith. It's all right to ask questions. God's not thrown by your questions. He's not shocked when you sin. He's not shocked when you fail. Does he want us to? No, but he's not shocked. He remembers that we're made of clay, and he knows that we come from a fallen nature. We are born in sin. He knows all that. But what are you doing with it? Are you making progress? When our losses become greater than our wins, and that's a choice in our life that we make. When your losses become greater than your wins, you know you're spending more time in the areas that you battle in instead of believing and moving forward in your walk with God. See, we need to get off milk. You got to get on meat. Because there are battles coming that God wants you to be faithful in and be victorious over, so you can help others that are behind you that need an example. See, we're to be an example in this world. How can you be an example if your losses are greater than your wins? What kind of testimony you got now? How are you going to praise God when your losses are greater and people start to see it and you're walking not in victory anymore? You're wallowing in the mud, blowing bubbles. So you got to get to the point where your losses are not greater than your wins. Folks, you've already won as a Christian. As soon as you're saved, you are victorious. You've got eternity waiting on you. We already start out victorious. But what do you do from day to day throughout your life with circumstances that come at you? Are you counting the cost and paying the price? Because God has wins for you. God is a winner. Now, how do we do all these things? Well, we must die to self and humble ourselves before a living God. We've got to die to self. So if you don't do that, if you don't die to yourself, then the flesh will remain living. Because if you don't die to self, the flesh rules. And as long as the flesh rules, everything else collapses around you. Yes, in John 10:10, it does tell us that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But in the very same verse, the very next breath, he says, "But I come to give you life and life more abundantly." Boom. There's your answer to everything. Look at that scripture when you're in a battle. We acknowledge what the devil's goals are. In fact, we need to know what his goals are so we can fight against them, so we can be ahead of the game, so to speak, because he's a broken record. There's nothing new under the sun. What Paul and the early disciples went through with the church, the same sins then are what we're dealing with today. Now, technology changes the way we sin sometimes, but the sin is still the same. An unrighteous life produces all these things. It is not that we have more answers. It's just that we have less questions, as I mentioned earlier about asking the right questions. Not questioning God, but asking the right questions. But you know, the deeper you go with God, the less questions I believe you will have, because you're now trusting him more and more and more, to where now you know that whether you have the answer or not, he does, and I'm trusting you with that question I have. If the devil can get us to find our answers on our own, then we won't need God's anymore. See, the devil would love for you to depend upon yourself to find the answers. Feel good about yourself. Oh, I've solved that problem. I worked that thing out all by myself. I'm so proud of myself. Well, folks, when you start leaning to your understanding instead of not, when you lean to your own understanding, you'll create answers to things, but they're never as good as God's answers. Because God's answers, see, God never does anything in your life that produces scars. In fact, in reality, in true scars, there have been many people healed of drug addictions, and God not only heals them of that, he heals the very scars on their arms from taking drugs. So God is the author, and he is the finisher of your faith. It's important that we understand that because God wants to use us in his kingdom. But we've got to grow. We've got to get to the point where we have a testimony from the test. And we've got to get to the point where our testimony that creates a test, because the devil wants to pull you down because he knows your testimony is a powerful witness to this world. Because a testimony to the world tells them that I have found the answer to all my questions, all of them. So what can God do with you if you're available and you're willing to hear him and his word? It's unlimited. In fact, he tells us that he will elevate you if you obey God. If you obey God, he will share secrets with you. That's something. If we seek him first, then he will be the first to answer us. Let me tell you that again. If we seek Christ first, then he'll be the first to answer us. Oh, the devil will try to sneak in there. The devil will try to get in there. But if you're seeking God's face, he's the one you're going to hear first, because the voice of the devil is not the same, because the devil never has an answer to your problem other than to create other problems. Every answer the devil has for you is a cover-up that produces more problems. But God, he has a way of finishing the story. He wrote your story back in the book of Psalms 139, verses 14 through 16. He wrote your story in a book. God's created, he's the author and finisher of your faith. He wants to finish it. What he began a good work in us, and he's faithful and just to complete that good work in you, because he knows the end of the story. He knows the end of the Bible. He knows how this thing ends. And how we do the journey depends on where we make it to and those that are following us. See, that's storing up treasures, folks, is when people come to you in heaven and say, thank you for doing this and doing that, because what you did, you create a way for them. You made an easier path for them. See, if you walk with God, your family has a greater likelihood of avoiding a lot of heartaches. I believe, as one minister said, we can avoid up to 70% of life's heartaches if we simply obey God, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and walk a holy life before him. Get as close as you can to him. Listen to his still small voice. Seek his face. Because once you seek his face, you're going to find out what he thinks of you. And it's going to encourage you because he loves you that much. And I pray that wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, that you will take a moment, even today as you're listening, whether it's live or on delay, that you'll take a moment and reevaluate your life and ask God to reveal to you those things that need to change. Some of them you know. Some of them you've been convinced are not a problem, but really are connected to all the failures in your life. And God wants to lift you up. He wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, as John the Beloved said. He wants you to make it, folks, and he wants you to go in style. What do I mean by that? He wants you to go in victory. He wants you to walk in victory. He doesn't want you to play the victim card and poor me. He wants you to be all he's called you to be. And all you simply have to do is say, Jesus, I'm going to start all over today. I'm going to dust my shoes off of this world and turn and follow you. And I'm going to do your will, not my own anymore. I want your will done in my life. And watch him produce things in your life that not only create situations where you don't have to go through damaging things. He can heal the past. He can heal the scars. And he can pick you up and take you places that you never dreamed were possible and share wonderful secret treasures hidden in places in Isaiah 47, verses 2, I believe, 2 through 7. So well, thank you for being with us. I trust that you will take a look at your life and reveal it to God and share it with him and say, God, I give you permission today. Maybe for the first time, I give you permission today to have your way in my life. Not my will, but yours from now on. And God is faithful and just, and he will do that for you. And I pray that you'll let us know. You can contact us on the Pulse WV Live on Facebook. Just do a little search there and find us. And we have a lot of sermons out there for you if you want to listen to them. I pray that you be encouraged today that you, the devil's told you it's over, that you have no hope, but you do. You have lots of hope, and you have reason. Whatever the devil tells you, just believe the opposite, and you'll be in good shape. Glad to have you with us. John's going to share with you how you can be a part of this ministry if you'd like to. In the meantime, stay tuned. Next Monday, we'll start a brand-new series. Excited about that, and hope you'll join us as we lift up the name of Jesus, that you can walk in victory in him. Thanks for being with us today.
Several different ways that you could give to this ministry, and we thank the ones that do. And you can actually text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187, thepulsechurch.com. Check out our website while you're there. And you can give through PayPal or mail your love gift to P.O. Box 141, Gassaway, West Virginia, 26624. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God.